In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. Did you know that? That's the truth. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about who is this Jesus. You know that the program Gateway to Joy is designed to help people to learn to know God. God sent His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this world to live like an ordinary man in ordinary circumstances, in order to demonstrate to us in a practical, visible, tangible way that it's possible to live a holy life. He came to show us His love. The Bible says this is how we know what love is, that Christ laid down His life for us. Yesterday, I read a quotation from the well-known journalist Malcolm Muggeridge about his opinion of Jesus. I'll just read a little bit of it again. He called Him the gigantic figure of one person because of whom, by whom, and in whom, and through whom alone mankind may still have hope, the person of Jesus Christ. And I told you how I observed Malcolm Muggeridge from a distance in a hotel dining room. I learned many years later that it was during that visit to Jerusalem that Malcolm Muggeridge had given his life to Christ. It completely changed his life as he had walked around with the British Broadcasting Television crew following the steps of Jesus. Jesus came alive to him there, became very real, and Malcolm Muggeridge committed his life to Him. I want to read to you a quotation from Thomas Jefferson. Who is this Jesus? Jefferson says, "I am a Christian in the only sense in which He wished anyone to be, sincerely attached to His doctrines in preference to all others, ascribing to Himself every human excellence, and believing He never claimed any other. According to the ordinary fate of those who attempt to enlighten and reform mankind, Jesus fell victim to the jealousy and combination of the altar and the throne. At about 33 years of age, His reason, having not yet attained the maximum of its energy, nor the course of its energy, nor the course of His preaching, which was but of 3 years at most, presented occasions for developing a complete system of morals." Jefferson also said, "Of all the systems of morality, ancient and modern, which have come under my observation, none appear to me so pure as that of Jesus." That was Thomas Jefferson. Yesterday, we read from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, how Jesus was baptized, went into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, called His disciples, demonstrated power not only over demons, obviously supernatural power, but over sickness, fever, leprosy. And the chapter tells us about His practice of prayer, His relationship with His Heavenly Father, God. An example of the eternal oneness and perfect intimacy. Yet Jesus had left His throne, as one hymn writer put it, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. Only His great eternal love made my Savior go. He allowed Himself to be subjected to all the limitations, the sorrows, the risks, and the temptations of being a man, just that, a human being, a real, live, flesh and blood man. In the second chapter of Mark, we find another demonstration of his power when he healed a paralyzed man. Do you know what the reaction of the religious leaders and the teachers of the law was when he healed that man? Verse 6 in Mark 2 says, "Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Jesus had said to the paralyzed man, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Well, that was an outrage. Let me read to you what C.S. Lewis said about Jesus. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must take your choice. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else it was a madman or something worse. You can shut Jesus up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let's not come away with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to." That's powerful, isn't it? Was he a liar? Was he a lunatic? Or was he Lord? I believe that Jesus Christ was and is Lord. Now, the Pharisees, who were the great moral teachers, the religious scholars of their day, accused him of running with the wrong crowd. He didn't call the experts to follow him. He called men of humble state, hard workers, simple people. As Flannery O'Connor has one of her characters say in one of her stories, Jesus thrown everything off balance, speaking in Southern dialect. Jesus has thrown everything off balance as the world looks at things. He turned the world upside down. He upset the moralists of his day. They wanted to know, why is Jesus not keeping the law? Why are his disciples disobeying the law? They're not fasting when they're supposed to. They're eating grain on the Sabbath day. Let me read verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." In chapter 3, Mark goes on to tell the story of Jesus healing a man who had a shriveled hand. But again, he outraged the religious leaders. He healed the man on the Sabbath. These leaders were constantly following around, scrutinizing what he did, listening to what he said, arguing about it, and watching him closely to see if he was going to break the law. So Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" Pretty shrewd questions, weren't they? And what was the response of the Pharisees? They remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. It's noticeable, isn't it, that there's nothing surreptitious about Jesus. No hole and corner, cloak and dagger kind of stuff. Jesus did what he did publicly, said what he said publicly. He was a man of truth, a man of courage, fearless, because he had come to earth for only one thing, and that was to do the will of his Father. And here he is, so early in his career, and the rabbis are already plotting to kill him. Jesus' response was anger. And then it says in verse 10, "For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, 'You are the Son of God.' But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was." Imagine that even the evil spirits recognized who Jesus was. But he didn't want them witnessing about him. He told them not to tell who he was. He continued to go around demonstrating his supernatural power so that people could see with their eyes and hear with their ears that he was a man sent from God. Do you know this Jesus? Do you want to know him? Do you want to learn to love him and to walk with him? It's my prayer that this week will help some of you to come a little bit closer, to love him a little bit more. And may God help all of us to walk with him more faithfully.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.